Thank you for joining us at the Roundtable.
Brought to you by Community Education Arts, a nonprofit organization based in Noblesville, Indiana.
I'm Alice Cavanaugh Scober, President of CE Arts.
And I'm Sarah E. Morin, Secretary of CE Arts. Let's sit down at the Roundtable.
Welcome back to our discussion of sex and sexuality in our four nice books this year. The books are Jane Eyre, Gone with the Wind, Dracula, and Little Women. We're talking about the first staircase scene, is kind of what we call it, in Gone with the Wind. This is one of the most contested, discussed, controversial scenes in the book in terms of sex and sexuality. Do you feel like it's a good time to just go into kind of a recap of what the scene is? Okay.
Yeah.
In brief, I'll try to be brief. Rhett carries Scarlett up the stairs in anger. Scarlett is afraid. The sex that happens once they're, you know, up there in their bedroom and everything, there's kind of like a couple of different ways to take this scene. I personally feel like it's not so much an act of violence at that point, because everything changes for Scarlett at the top of the stairs before they are even in the bedroom. The downstairs scene when he's drunk and threatening her, that is a very violent and scary thing for her. She escapes from that by going up the stairs. She gets away from him. He follows her, you know, and that's how we get this he is intent on, dominating her sexually and otherwise. Now, at the top of the stairs, before they're even in the bedroom, he stops, he kisses her, he's carried her up the stairs, he puts her on the landing, he kisses her. It's this kiss that, in the words, I'll quote the book, this kiss wiped out everything from her mind but the dark into which she was sinking and the lips on hers. This is Scarlett reacting physically, sexually, in a positive way to this kiss. Now, the rest of the scene, again, we have to understand it was written in the 1930s, is not explicit, but it is a pretty poetic description of a sex scene, I think. It's clear that the way that Margaret Mitchell presents this, Rhett takes over Scarlett's entire being, using his physicality and sexual prowess. It doesn't really read like sexual assault at this point, despite some of the words that Margaret Mitchell uses in this description. It is clear that this is the first time that Scarlett has ever felt sexual pleasure, okay? She even says, quote, for the first time in her life, she had felt alive, end quote. And the next morning, she's happy. She believes now that Rhett loves her and that she believes they're gonna have some new lease on life and their marriage. Unfortunately, we go back to some abusive bad stuff when Rhett disappears for 3 days. That's not cool. What a coward. He ran away from her in their night of passion. Bad Rhett.
To be with Belle Watley.
I know, exactly. When he does come back, he's horribly abusive psychologically and emotionally. He is so mean to Scarlett, even telling her that he has been at Belle Watling's. Mm-hmm. You know, and Scarlett is hurt and devastated and, you know, then back to the same old bad relationship with Rhett Butler. Mm-hmm. But this scene, which in some people call it a rape scene, I would argue for many reasons that it's not. I think the violence downstairs in the dining room is very abusive, is very domestic violence. Oh man, that's hard to read. But you know, for me, it's very hard to read, having lived through some domestic violence stuff myself. I find that very, very hard to read. However, to say that the actual sex that they experience upstairs in their bedroom, blah blah blah, is a rape scene is not so clear cut to me, because of that moment at the top of the stairs when Scarlett responds to Rhett's kiss. Now, there will be people who will argue, and they have every right to, that, you know, having a fictional character succumb to the overwhelming sexual prowess of a dominant man who has carried them up the stairs with the one goal of, you know, sexually dominating her, that, you know, there's no way to consent, that consent is out of the picture, you know. This scene is not that clear cut. I feel like you could look at it either way. It either is a rape scene or it isn't. And maybe part of me just wants it to not be, because I root for this couple. I want them to find their way to each other. And at this point in the book, it's like, oh my gosh, it's possible. You know, like Scarlett, she wakes up, she's happy, she's satisfied. She realizes there's a whole nother element to their relationship, and he must love her if he made her feel this way, if he could do the things and be that man for her that takes over her entire being, as she said. You know, she has hope for their relationship, and then of course he, you know, throws the hope out the window. But mm-hmm. What do you think? Give me your thoughts.
Excellent analysis, because it is ambiguous. I would absolutely agree with you that the paragraph, the poetic paragraph describing the actual sex obliquely,
mm-hmm. yeah.
and her reaction the next morning, I'd say that I do not view as rape.
Right.
Leading up to that, my issue with it is it seems so implausible to me that they can go from the scene of domestic violence and reinforce these stereotypes from like 1940s
right.
movies
mm-hmm.
that if I kiss her harder, she'll be into it.
Yeah, that is a big problem. and there are words used in Margaret Mitchell's poetic description. There's something in there where Scarlett is thinking, you know, that he's bullying her. That this is she's a bully. He's a bully. She's met her match. I mean, the word bully is in there. The fact that she feels like she can let herself go sexually with Rhett is because he's dominating her in ways that she normally dominates other people.
Yep.
And now that is a character flaw, maybe, but it's hard to say that. Does that make her able to consent or not able to, you know, is this rape? Is this not rape? You know, because it is a very, very complicated issue in terms of her personality, which we have seen up to this point. Mm-hmm. And I guess my takeaway is that it's going to be up to individual readers. And again, I strongly urge people to read the book, not just see the film, because the film just does not do justice to some of the depth in the characters that Margaret Mitchell wrote. I do feel like things can change in a moment in life, in always, anyways. And that moment at the top of the stairs, something changes for Scarlett. What we don't know, what we don't have, is Rhett's side of this scene.
Very true.
And the fact that he runs away for 3 days and goes in because he's what? Ashamed of how he treated Scarlett? That he probably feels like he raped her, right? He doesn't seem to get that she enjoyed this encounter, this sexual mm-hmm. encounter. So he runs away from dealing with what he must imagine the next morning will be like, right? So that complicates it, because we don't get Rhett's side and we have to assume that's kind of
right.
what he was doing. That makes right. it seem more rapey, right? I mean, if the guy, if the dominant person apparently thinks he's just raped somebody, well, we might have to say, yeah, that was rape, you know? So it is
yeah,
very, it
intent.
Is, you know what I mean? It's not, there's no easy way to determine this. I think everybody is just going to have to find their own answer and find their peace with that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I always read it that Brett ran away. I mean, sure, he says that, you know, I just overstepped that line treating you as a nice Victorian woman.
Right,
but
exactly.
I also thought of it more of, he is too much of a coward to own up his own feelings and be that vulnerable.
Because yeah.
he has this front of sarcasm as a guard, making fun of people as a guard, even his own wife at times.
Right, very true.
And so I look at it as that's what he's running from.
And he knows that she could come back with sarcasm. She could come back with, I mean, he has no reason to believe that he somehow won her over. There's nothing in their history that makes him trust that he has somehow broken through, got driven Ashley out of her mind, which was his stated goal. That's what he wanted to do. He wanted to drive Ashley out of her mind forever as a fantasy, as a sexual fantasy, as a romantic fantasy. He has no belief that he did that. That's part of why he runs away, right? I agree with you 100%. It's a very complicated thing. I will say, and, you know, without getting into too much, I feel like this kind of scenario of a woman being overcome and being romantically pleased or sexually pleased or whatever by a dominant male that she may or may not have had a kind of a contentious relationship with, if you will, is a fictional device in, I mean, pick up a Barbara Cartland novel. You know, there's always the hero, the bad boy hero, you know, virtually rapes, you know, the innocent heroine and she falls in love with him. I mean, this scenario of rape turning into romance is awful. It's something that is not a good thing in culture, in literature, in movies, and yet it is prevalent. This is a very bad way of looking at sexual assault, right? I think we can agree on that, yes?
Oh, absolutely.
I would go as far as to say that for any woman who has actually ever been raped, this scene doesn't play a rape scene. It's because any woman who's ever been raped does not have any feeling of sexual pleasure or of, oh, this man is so wonderful that he's now dominating me. That's not what rape is. I don't want to go too far on my soapbox of that, but rape is rape, and then there's, you know, fictional tropes. You know, there's devices to carry a story forward or to have a relationship, you know, turn a corner or not turn a corner, as in this case, you know. And I don't want anybody out there to think that either of us, and I'm not saying you've done this, but that I'm saying rape is okay because Scarlett actually felt something at the top of the stairs when Rhett kissed her. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying I don't read this as a rape scene because it is not what rape is in my book. As far as like this fictional technique, I don't approve of that as a fictional technique. I don't like that idea that you know, sexual assault can be turned into a romantic thing in literature, but I acknowledge that that has happened, like I said, prevalently in literature, in movies, in society. I mean, it's part of the reason that young teenage girls endure sexual assault, because they've been kind of brought up in a culture where, you know, if their boyfriends are rough with them, that means he really loves them. No, it doesn't. But, you know, let's not, like I said, I better get off that soapbox really fast, because we could go too far.
Right, and I feel like if you were to look at this with a sheerly modern interpretation, you could almost say that, well, maybe Scarlett's into BDSM.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you know, it brings, you know, I will admit that things like the 50 Shades of Grey scenarios and stuff like that, I have no use for that kind of literature. But, you know, books like this, like Gone with the Wind and this scene in Gone with the Wind, you know, there's no way to not acknowledge that they have influenced other authors and other writers, you know, in kind of perpetuating that sort of notion of some sort of violence being part of a healthy sexual relationship. And again, I feel like that's like a, what would be the, you know, in today we hear, you know, the term white privilege is used a lot. What would be the term for that kind of privilege in regarding how you look at sex? I mean, there's some sort of privilege of people who have never been raped seeing sex that way as the possibility of including violence and having that be okay. There, you know, rape rape is not okay, and if you've endured it, there's no part of the violence of rape and the lack of consent that can translate into a normal, healthy sexual relationship. That just mm-hmm. is not possible. And so that's why, for me, this isn't so much a reality-based rape scene, if mm-hmm. you will, as it is part of that fictionalized, you know, I hate to use the word patriarchal again, but that kind of patriarchal system where dominant men can assault women and somehow women are supposed to say, oh, that's lovely, that's romantic, that means he loves me. I reject that, but that's what I see this at worst. That's what this is. Does that make sense?
It does. And I think the word consent is so key.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, we know that for both genders, you know, the whole BDSM movement, when done properly, consent is a key part of that, safe words
sure.
are a key part of that, you know. And so that analogy, reading it into the scene, is very loose.
Yes, but, you know, it is, I get your point, though, you know, and I guess what I need to just say is that, you know, again, everybody's going to have to read these kind of scenes in their own way and interpret them in their own way. And, you know, I think you and I have talked about things like date rape, stranger rape, marital rape. There's a lot of different kinds of rape, you know. Mm-hmm. There's incestuous familial rape. I mean, rape is not in any way something that's pleasant or positive or resulting in a good feeling, period. Mm-hmm. End of, you know. And the fact that it's a husband doesn't make it okay, mm-hmm. you know. It's just, that's a fact. And in 1930, in the Old South, you know, that the time period of this, he had legal right to do what he did. If you want to call it rape, you say he had the legal right because that was a husband's right, right? That doesn't make it okay what he did. And that if you're looking at this scene as a rape scene, and the fact that Scarlett changes, you know, at the top of the stairs into a more receptive, you know, she's okay with it kind of thing. You know, it is not the most comfortable scene when you look at it that way.
Mm-hmm.
I think this, it's very complicated. There's so much, involved in reading a scene like this. It depends on when the story takes place. It depends on when it was written. It depends on the words used. It depends on so many, the characters so far up to that point. Who are they? What do they think? I mean, there's just so much going on. I hope that people will read the chapter at least, if not the whole book, and, you know, get their own interpretations for what this is all about.
Mm-hmm.
I'm on the fence with it, really. I mean, part of me is like, nope, not right. You know, just
yes,
flat,
yeah,
out
no,
not. Flat out not.
On the fence is where we need to be.
Yeah, and part of me is like, well, other people could see it as rape, you know, just mm-hmm. because I don't, because I personally, having experienced the violence of real, what I was saying, real rape, that sounds bad, like there's fake rape, you know, but real life rape, I would say, for me, this does not qualify. This is a fictional fantasy kind of story, right? Seen in a story. But for other people, it may absolutely come across as a rape scene. So I'm not here to say one way or the other what other people should think. I just know where I feel about it. I feel like, personally, not rape, but I can see how other people would see it that way.
Sure. Yeah, that's legitimate. Absolutely.
Join us next time as we continue our discussion of sex and sexuality in our four nice books this year: Jane Eyre, Gone with the Wind, Dracula, and Little Women. This has been At the Roundtable with Alice
and Sarah E.
of Community Education Arts.
Our nonprofit organization is based in Noblesville, Indiana. You can find us online at cearts.org. We'd like to thank James Weston for writing our intro music and for his technical savvy.
Join us next time
at the Roundtable.